You are Locked On Ravens, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Ravens, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Locked On Ravens podcast. I am Jacob Troxler. You can find me on Twitter at Trox3. As the Ravens are on a bit of a short week with 5 days between preparing for the Los Angeles Chargers on Saturday, while Los Angeles is getting an extra day after playing early last week, and Baltimore currently sitting at as a 4.5-point underdog against the 11-3 Chargers, and we're going to get into why the Ravens have a playoff primed roster in a bit. But first, I want to go over some things that Ravens head coach John Harbaugh said Monday afternoon to the media in his weekly press conference. And he did clarify that Tuesday they'll begin game planning, and Wednesday, Thursday, Baltimore will practice. Thursday, they'll head out to fly out to Los Angeles. And another thing that Harbaugh noted that I know some people were kind of talking about after the game is the Bradley Bozeman, James Hurst situation. Harbaugh did clarify that they did plan for Bradley Bozeman to go in for Hurst. And he said, you know, it was part of the plan. We planned to do that, and we thought it worked out really well. So clearly, you know, you could tell, and we talked about in yesterday's episode, you know, having so many guys around that 5 yards per carry mark, clearly it worked out and things were moving in the right direction. And it's a great sign for any team to have offensive line depth. But when you're running the ball like this, and when this is now your scheme that you're putting into, you know, so many rushing attempts into each game, that's especially important. So always look for that in playoff-bound teams. Do they have depth everywhere? You know, yesterday I mentioned the New Orleans Saints. I feel like they have the most depth, possibly the best offensive line in football, but overall, around the entire offense, even at the quarterback position, they have depth everywhere. And that, to me, is a good sign, an encouraging sign for a team that can make a deep run into the playoffs. Harbaugh was also asked about the scheme and you know, how they were able to stay so successful throughout the game, you know, even though it was very apparent that Baltimore was running the ball. They were making a commitment to running the ball frequently, and Harbaugh said, you know, look, I think the players and the coaches who have developed this scheme deserve the credit, and, you know, I think he also said it does have that effect. It's tough to stop that kind of play when you're kind of running the ball throughout the game. And it takes a wear on a team, essentially. He also kind of mentioned that the passing game was also complementary of it. You know, obviously, you have to have balance. You know, when you're running the ball this much, it's important. But to have that balance on offense as well, you have to have a downfield threat. But Harbaugh did mention, again, he went back to the different blocking schemes, and he said, quote, "We have lots of different runs and different blocking schemes, so that is an effect also, because you don't always know where the block is coming from," end quote. So, you know, clearly that is part of their plan, to where they're trying to develop layers of blocks and have essentially blocks coming out of nowhere. It's very tough to see. You could tell a lot of times where they have wide receivers, tight ends, and guards all pulling at once, and guys, you know, lining up at different parts of the backfield. In this offense, it seems like there are 10 different spots where tight ends could possibly line up just in the backfield. I mean, there are so many different combinations with those full house looks they give, the pistol looks they give. So clearly that's something they've been working on in practice, is developing those different looks and you know, trying to develop different blocking schemes to where teams are not catching up to where guys are coming from. So that right now, I think, is the most fun part of watching this offense, is you know, that being the focal point, is how dedicated they are to developing those different schemes. And speaking of, while we're on the running topic, I also want to bring up again Lamar Jackson, his rushing totals, and Harbaugh was asked, you know, what kind of projection do you think we could see here with Lamar? I mean, he's totaled a lot of rushing attempts here in the last few games. You know, where do you expect him to be at? And Harbaugh answered with this: I think that's all going to work out over time. It's a very good question, and I really do think it'll work out over time. There were some scrambles yesterday. There were some RPOs, some options where he kept the ball. You know, he had 3 kneel downs, so 17 carries is really 14. Now, 14 is not 15. He was asked about, you know, Michael Vick being hardly ever running over 15 times a game. You know, you take away those 3 kneel downs, it's really 14. So, okay, that makes sense. But I think it is a concern. I think it's a fair question. Like he said, he acknowledged that it's a fair question. And, you know, if Baltimore is going to play this way, it's important that they, obviously, they want to have Lamar's threat at all times. But it's important that they utilize the tight ends and running backs together. They keep guys fresh. They don't want to, you know, overuse anyone too much, and especially that being Lamar Jackson, because if you have him in the game and you have Robert Griffin inactive and on the sidelines with Joe Flacco as your only backup quarterback in the game, that takes away this entire scheme that you've now dedicated your offense to. So, you know, you really have to keep that in mind when I think Baltimore kind of has to pick their spots. I think this is something, too, that I feel like I want to see more out of the Carolina Panthers when they use Cam Newton in certain situations. Now, Cam is a massive human being. He's built more like a tight end than he is a quarterback. But, you know, right now he's been dealing with that shoulder injury, and you've seen it affect him recently, throwing 4 interceptions in a game. You know, it's clearly something that seems to be bothering him, and I don't think he feels comfortable throwing the ball downfield too much because of that injury. So, you know, it's just, and even injury that isn't caused by that, you know, you just want to be safe with these guys because they are oftentimes the foundations of your franchise, and you want to keep especially that throwing shoulder healthy. And I think Baltimore has to keep in mind, you know, you have a young quarterback here. He's probably very willing and ready to run the ball. He obviously has the talent to do so, but I think you need to pick your spots because, you know, maybe 12 rushes is where you want to use him at, but when do you want to choose those 12 rushes? Is it going to be a 3rd-and-3 situation? That worked out yesterday. Is it going to be a goal line situation? I think, you know, those are the types of things you have to think about. When it's 2nd-and-20 or 2nd-and-25, maybe you're backed up in your own territory. That might not be the best time to use one of those carries because those are very, very, you know, precious. I look at them as, because a carry with Lamar Jackson is a bigger commitment than one with your running backs. You just have more depth at running back. So I think it's something to keep in mind and something to watch as Lamar not only progresses through this offense, but progresses as a passer, because Baltimore cannot use him constantly. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, obviously with the short week this week, short-ish week, at least it's not Thursday for them. Baltimore doesn't have to go out there on a Thursday, but that's definitely going to be something to watch as they kind of go through this week, because with the shorter game plan, you know, what do they try to install into this offense on a short week? You know, do they kind of keep everything the same? They just kind of stick with what they have and maybe not necessarily game plan as much? Do they run a lot of the same things that they did last week just to keep things simple and keep guys fresh? You know, who knows? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And one last thing from Harbaugh's press conference, he also talked about and was asked about the tight ends in his offense and their utilization.
That's such a great point. I mean, Max, I can't give Max enough credit. You know, Nick, but Max has stepped in and not have any drop off. And then Hayden and Mark came in and blocked really well. You obviously saw that, Luke. And it's one of those unsung things that people don't see. Those two guys stepped it up. You know, they really did. And that was, we have a lot of depth. We have 4 really good tight ends.
That indeed. They do have four very good tight ends, and they've been using them in a variety of ways. And that's going to be another thing, you know, this week in the game plan. What do they use those guys for? How do they use those guys? They've used them in different packages, and obviously Hurst and Andrews, two of the better receiving tight ends, and we expect to see them a lot. But, you know, how much do they use them in those situations where they're running the read option, they're pulling guys, you know, even the wide receivers as well. I think some of these wide receivers have done a really good job of blocking on the ends. And that's a lot of times the difference too, between, you know, a 10, 15 yard run and a 30, 40 yard run is, can you set that edge with your wide receiver? Can you get help out on the outside? Because your front five can only do so much. Now, I mentioned Baltimore being a playoff prime team, and I think that starts, again, going back to the running game and the defense. You know, Baltimore's variety in the running game and their consistent defense, we've seen it before in Baltimore work, and we've seen it along with other teams' work. And I just want to give you a quick rundown of the AFC Championship winners over the last couple years and just kind of give you an idea of what led to their success and how they were able to win the conference, because I think it's a good measuring stick of especially, you know, with a lot of the same teams and the same players still in the AFC. I think it's a good measuring stick, and it's a good way to kind of look at where you are in comparison with some other teams and what is really a true indicator of playoff success. So I'm going to run down some AFC Championship winners. Going back to last year, obviously the New England Patriots being 10th in rushing offense, and they were actually 29th in defense. And you remember the Super Bowl where I believe New England did not punt once, but still lost to New England in that rare shootout of a game. New England's offense was just very, very dominant, but you could tell the rushing offense was a huge part of it. Going back to the previous year, New England's defense much better. The running game and defense, again, led them to the Super Bowl. They were 7th in rushing offense and 8th in defense. And then back to 2015, we have the Denver Broncos at 17th in rushing offense and 1st in defense. Now, by the way, these are total yards per game numbers, just going strictly off of that. 17th and in the rush and 1st in defense for the 2015 Broncos that ended up going and winning the Super Bowl. Then the year before, the 2014 New England Patriots, again, top 15 in defense. They were 13th, middle of the pack in the running game, about 18th. And then back again one more year, the 2013 Broncos that ended up losing the Super Bowl. They were 15th in rushing offense, 19th in defense. And then we go back to the Baltimore Ravens in 2012. They were 11th in rushing offense. Now, they were 17th in defense, but they were 12th in points per game, and then got Ray Lewis back and into the playoffs and were able to win the Super Bowl there. So, and then one last one I wanted to throw in there, the 2010 Steelers, the last time they went to the Super Bowl, won the AFC, they were 11th in rushing and 2nd in defense. And, you know, even some of the teams that ended up losing in the championship game, the Jacksonville Jaguars last year turned it around. They turned around their entire franchise with their running game and their defense. The Indianapolis Colts had Andrew Luck that year. They were blown out by New England. Obviously could have used a little bit more around him. And the New York Jets with Rex Ryan, you know, back in 2010 and 2011, those were low-scoring AFC championship, or at least the one against the Pittsburgh Steelers was a low-scoring AFC championship game, kind of hung around there with their defense, 24-19 loss to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. And the Jets were on the road both times. They ended up going to the AFC title game, lost to, the other one was to Indianapolis. But you can certainly see a slight trend here, and obviously, we've seen Baltimore make a run with their running game and their defense. And right now, Baltimore, even without, you know, those games early on in the season being good games for their running game, they are 2nd in rushing yards per game now at 141.9 yards per game. And their defense still tops in the league in total yards, 290.2 yards allowed this season. So I really think, you know, it just goes back to something we talked about in the beginning of the season, too, with this defense. You know, we've talked a lot about the running game, but the defense, again, they're starting to show why they were a team that maybe not everyone was picking them to necessarily win the Super Bowl, but this was a team that was formed, again, with the same 11 starters, with veteran leadership in the secondary, with good, solid cornerbacks, with a solid linebacking core they added to in the draft. Kenny Young has looked great. You know, obviously you still have Terrell Suggs around and a good front seven. So, you know, we're starting to see finally this team kind of come together, and it starts with that those two, the running game and the defense, and obviously Baltimore's special teams with Justin Tucker. You know, we always talk about special teams come the postseason time. I think Baltimore, if they win these two games, whether they win the wild card or the division, they are very, very primed for a good run in these playoffs now, how far they can go. I think that'll probably come down to Lamar Jackson's arm, you know, in conjunction with the running game and how they're, if they're able to balance, because there are certainly some teams in this AFC that are very capable of doing both. Kansas City, down to their third string, I believe third or fourth string running back last week, Damian Williams, and you saw the performance he had. He was very, you know, very good and was able to find the end zone, I believe, three times. So, obviously, they have depth there at that position, and Patrick Mahomes has been able to show off, you know, in his first year as a starter, what he's able to do. So, on both sides of things, they are able to balance that on offense, and now, finally, it seems like they're getting some of their guys back that are healthy. Eric Berry back in the lineup. So, you know, there are so many. That's just one team. And, you know, the Steelers, even, you know, without Le'Veon Bell, have been able to have a balance on offense. So, you know, the AFC, perhaps more than the NFC, you need to have that balance. And I think Baltimore has that now. You know, like I said, how much of it are you going to have come playoff time with Lamar and his arm? That remains to be seen. But I do think if Baltimore is able to win this game on the road all the way out in Los Angeles and they come home for the Browns, if they're able to win those two games, no one is going to want to play Baltimore, and they will have probably the most momentum out of anybody, you know, going into the playoffs in the AFC. If you, because you're beating the Chargers, Kansas City lost to the Chargers already. You know, you beat Pittsburgh in their place already this season, and the Patriots are 9-5. They lost to the Dolphins a few weeks back. So, you know, the Texans again, they fell to 10-4 and have narrowly escaped some games. So, this game this week obviously is very important because Baltimore could be eliminated if things don't go their way elsewhere. So they still control their own destiny with a win here. But for all the momentum that they could continue to gain throughout these next 2 weeks, would be absolutely amazing to see how they could even be riding into the playoffs with more momentum than some of the NFC teams as well. So, and that we've seen that obviously with Baltimore and some other teams like the New York Giants. If you can get some momentum, you only need to win three games to get where you need to get where you want to be in the Super Bowl. So, much different from other sports where you have to win series or things like that to advance. Football can be very friendly to teams who are streaky, and Baltimore right now, streaking towards the playoffs. Now they'll have to take care of business in Los Angeles, and we'll have the crossover episode later this week, so make sure you listen out for that. But like I said, follow me on Twitter at Trox3. Make sure you stay up to date with us as well at Locked On Ravens, and thank you guys for listening.